Feeling it out of the box. DJ Shoots, thanks so much for helping us make the transition. Streaming worldwide, www.kkcr.org. I'm Laura Christine. This is the Get Low Show. Not. We are ready for another out-of-the-box special. Got Fred Dente waiting on the phone. Fred, you're going to have to wait for a while. Give a call in a bit. I've got Fern Anuinui waiting, holding. She's going to give us an update on the legislation opening up yesterday, the Hawaii State Legislature first day celebration, all that good stuff. But before we go there, I got this kind of thing I got to go through. It's called the disclaimer. You know, the views and opinions expressed by the DJ is really not the DJ at all. It's the, what do you call that? There we go. Public enemy number one. Just like that.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR, its board of directors, staff, volunteers, or underwriters.
Right on. So, mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. And hopefully I get Fern Anuinui Rosensteel right up on the line here. Fern, are you there? Aloha, Fern.
Hi.
Hi, Fern. Thank you for holding and calling back. I dropped you once. I hope I won't drop you twice.
Don't worry about it.
And Happy New Year to you. It's been 2 weeks since the last time I heard your voice on our radio station. I want to thank you again for joining Tim and I and the Homegrown Garden Island Bluegrass Show for a crazy version of the, what was it, Out of the Kauai New Soapbox Live Sometimes Bluegrass Box Show. And I asked you to join us today so that we could hear a little bit about your experience at the state legislature's opening day ceremonies. First time for you over there? Did you go last year?
I did go last year, yeah.
Uh-huh. How was it different from this year and then last year?
Last year we had a march that came down Britannia and then converged kind of at the state capitol. And this year we had a play pounding. It's called Kui at the Capitol, and it was kind of just a gathering there instead of a march. It was a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. So you had a lot of different cultural practitioners doing some good stuff with Kalo and having...
Yeah, a lot of Kalo, a lot of play pounding, a lot of education. Yeah, less signs than there was last year. There wasn't as many signs being carried around. It was more play pounding, giving away free food, talking to people, meeting and mingling. There was some ceremonies I got to watch Gary Hoosier and a bunch of other previous senators get acknowledged by the Senate, which was nice. And I got to meet and talk to different people and went around to our legislatures and spoke to our Kauai legislatures a little bit and showed them our sign. We carried a sign around that said, Pioneer, Dow, Syngenta, shame on you, suing Kauai County for the right to spray poison near schools, homes, and hospitals. And shame. We carried that around the state legislature for about 12 hours yesterday.
There you go. Shame on you for suing the county for, what, spraying pesticides wherever you like?
Well, the right to spray your pesticides without giving us the right to know and without, buffer zoning important areas to us or sensitive areas.
Mm-hmm. And I know you're on your way to do an afternoon shift on the job, and I appreciate taking time out of your busy day. Your voice sounds wonderful, considering that you were probably talking all day long yesterday with a variety of different folks.
It was almost gone by yesterday afternoon, but I think I stopped just before the sound like a frog for 2 weeks stage, which is what I seem to be doing after every march.
Right. So
I'm getting better.
Tell me, what were you sharing with our legislators here from Kauai as well as throughout the whole state of Hawaii?
Well, you know, obviously we're deeply disturbed about the fact that we are going to be dragging out a long court case now, and we feel that, you know, people should step in to help protect the county of Kauai from this sort of bullying, really, which is large corporate bullying. We were talking to our legislators about how we would like them to support state bills that would help to protect all counties in Hawaii and to do important things, but ensure that those are not preempted in the sense that they would stop the counties from being able to have stricter regulations or whatever the counties wanted to do, not be preempted by state law is pretty much our big focus as the new legislative season starts and a lot of the bills are being brought forward.
Mm-hmm.
We want to make sure that, you know, you're not passing things that are going to stop us or limit our rights or prevent us from taking individual action. You know, Hawaii is really different in that we have so many different counties on different islands, and each island is so dramatically different. So it's important that counties retain their own unique identity and ability to pass laws that better suit their communities. And that's pretty much our largest focus as we break into the new season.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about this new season. Have you heard any, I guess, even rumors, but was there any proposed bills that are going to look at limiting local room or home rule? Ooh, God, hard to say that one.
I've actually got a stack of bills that I need to start looking at, and I haven't got too much time to do that yet. So I haven't seen anything specific yet. And it was funny because when I said that, I asked all of our council or all of our representatives on the state level yesterday whether they'd be supporting preemption or not on the state level. And they all said, I haven't seen a bill like that. Haven't seen the bill. So we're going to really have to just stay on top of it over the next week or so, and I'm going to have to catch up because I'm not able to give you a solid answer about what I'm most concerned about yet.
Mm. I mean, and we know how quick things move there when they want to, right? Things don't always move slowly. It might appear that way, but sometimes in the blink of an eye, a bill somewhat morphs itself into something that if we're not careful, we can easily get kind of caught off guard, right?
Absolutely. It's kind of a everyday changing situation when you're dealing with the bill in the legislative season. I found that out last year. It can just change so quickly from one day to the other. And we really want to be passing statewide bills that help protect us even more, and in many areas, for sustainable food and supporting, you know, food production in Hawaii, and also for protecting us against pesticides and those such things.
Mm-hmm. Fern, I know that yesterday in the legislature, you know, it's all the elected officials. Did you also make any conversation, talk story sessions with folks that were in the Department of Ag? We got a phone call, a note was just passed to me by Tim Kalai about the, I think it's Scott Enright. Is that the new Department of Ag chairperson?
We didn't get to connect with anybody too directly. We mostly focused on our representative.
Mm-hmm.
We did try to go speak to Senator Nishihara, who is very, I don't know how to describe his position, but I'd say that he takes quite a bit of funds from the Biotech Corporation compared to other representatives, and is working possibly more closely on preemption than any other senator. And we did go out the front of his office with our sign, uh-huh. But the door was shut relatively quickly on us. We focused on making sure the message was seen by all the senators, and really stayed in the rotunda for probably about 12 hours yesterday.
Yeah, and Fern, you know, the relationships that, I mean, I think the you and I will agree with the mayor on this one, that the relationships are important. We have Dee Morikawa out on the west side, Jimmy Tokioka representing the central district from Koloa, Luhui, Honomalu side, and Derek Kawakami from Wailua up north. Those gentlemen, and of course, Senator Ron Kochi representing the island at large. What is their take in regards to the counties 2491 and any changes to pesticide regulations, whether they're feeling that the state needs to step up, or that the lawsuit that was filed that you mentioned earlier, shame on you guys, that the lawsuit is going to take precedent right now until we know where that stands, that there's not really going to be much action taken. What's your sense on that?
Nobody really wants to talk too much about the lawsuit at the moment because we're kind of in the stage where we're figuring out the ins and outs of legalities and law and all that. So nobody responds too much when I ask them, you know, what do you think about the lawsuit? You know, what are your opinions? People kind of just dodge the question when it comes to, like, our representatives and such. I have made it clear that we want statewide protection similar to 2491, and I do believe that there's going to be bills that will be introduced. And I think I may have even seen a rough draft of one on that list, of bills that would basically protect us on a statewide level, similar to what 2491 would do on a county level.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just, yeah, staying on top of making sure that preemption isn't added or amended into any of those, which would give us that. But from the county perspective now, it's really about letting the lawyers figure out the ins and outs of this, and I'm really not versed enough in my law to kind of even understand all of it myself. So it's just a day-to-day learning for us. In regards to, you know, our response to Bill 2491 lawsuit, we would like to spread that shame on you message around the world, actually, and we'll be launching a media campaign and an education campaign about it. We want the world to know what's going on here because these are worldwide companies, and we are just a little county. So we'll be focusing on getting the message out that these corporations aren't good neighbors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think that's an important message for folks to understand elsewhere that, you know, good neighbors don't do that kind of stuff, do they? And Fern, you are, for listeners, listening to Fern Rosenstiel from Kauai, who yesterday spent a good portion of her day talking story with Kauai legislators and other legislators across the island with their opening day ceremonies that happened in Honolulu. Fern, did you get a chance to check out a little bit of the action, the resistance to GMO technology and the biotech world on Maui? It seemed like there was a conference or a convention of Monsanto product users. Did you see any of that or hear any of that since you've been back?
I did hear a little bit while I was on Oahu yesterday afternoon, mm-hmm. that there was something going on in Maui. I think a smaller biotech corporation that commonly grows seeds for Monsanto is looking at land on Maui or doing something, or they had some sort of convention, and they booked out the whole Hyatt and got their own maids and staff and all kinds of stuff. I've heard all kinds of things, but I can't verify how much of that's true or not. I really don't know too much about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it did sound like the action that occurred was some of the community members on Maui who have concerns about Monsanto's presence there and the products that they're using and the pesticides that they're spraying decided to take a more confrontational approach on the beach and in front of the hotel where they were staying. I believe it was the Hyatt on Maui, and engaged in some education and outreach, engaged in what could be considered in-your-face tactics of loud chanting, loud, boisterous outreach to the convention goers and the wives and families of the farmers that are being rewarded by this entity that had booked a if you will, a fair amount of rooms in the Maui Hyatt there or the hotel on the beach. And Facebook, the GMO-free Maui page, had a couple of posts of some videos and some interesting interactions amongst them all. And I do believe that this is probably what 2014 will bring for a lot of us is having to directly confront the powers that be as well as the practitioners in ways that others might perceive as being harmful in order to be either heard or to address the issues in such a way that might be meaningful or effective. Fern Rosenstiel from Ohana Kauai, any updates in regards to what Ohana Kauai is going to be planning for 2014 and some of the activities and actions that community members may participate in coming months and into the year?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to be trying to have every 2-week meetings every other Sunday open to the public that will engage more people that want to be involved in any of the campaigns that we're working on. We'll be working on the Honolulu Ridge development this year. We'll be working on, obviously, continuing with 2491 and the issues associated with that whole aspect of concern. We'll also be doing a lot of garden programs. We're looking at doing some more community gardens throughout the island that are going to be open to people that want to be involved in, like, co-op-style gardening and farming for food. We also are going to be doing backyard gardens again throughout the year, working on helping families grow gardens in their backyard that people can be involved in, donate materials, or be involved, just help dig holes and turn dirt and hang out. It's kind of good fun. So we're going to be doing that and trying to build a community around some of the projects that we're working on. We're also going to be working on some water restoration projects. I want to work closer with Earth Justice on the restoration of the flow of different water courses around the island. And, yeah, different projects. So it's going to be a really good 2014, I think.
I think so. I hope so. And, again, thank you for all that you're doing for Kauai, all that you're doing for members of Ohana Kauai. And, oh, here we got a question. Every Sunday, question about where. Where are these meetings going to be happening?
Well, they're going to vary around the island. The best way to keep up with it would be to follow our Facebook page. That's the like page.
Okay.
Or go to our email or go to our website and shoot us an email at getinvolved@ohanaokauai.org. So that we can keep you up to date on that. But
say that email one more time, but a little bit slower.
Getinvolved@ohanaokauai.org.
All right. Getinvolved@ohanaokauai.org.
Yeah, so we're going to try for, what was it? The 26th was going to be our second meeting, but I think it's Super Bowl Sunday, so we're actually going to have it on the 25th. And then our next meeting is likely to be the 9th.
There we go.
February.
Any Super Bowl favorites for you, Fern?
Oh, no. I wouldn't know. What sport is that again?
I think it's football.
Oh, okay.
There we go. Fern Rosenstiel joining us from... Where are you at right now, Fern?
Tahiti Nui.
Right on. I do appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule and for all the hard work that you're doing, and look forward to talking with you more on Kauai Community Radio.
Awesome. Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you,
Kauai. Thank you. Aloha. That's Fern Rosenstiel. Fern Anui Nui, you can find her on Facebook. You can email her and her organization at, what was it, getinvolved@ohanaokauai.org. I've got another phone call coming right up, so we'll get that caller on the air right away. Aloha, caller. You're on the air.
Yeah, how's it? This is Rick Cattaneo.
Oh, one of my favorites. Aloha, yeah. Raymond. Happy New Year to you, brother.
Yeah, good, thanks. I'm working with a bunch of other labor activists on fighting to raise the minimum wage.
Thank you, and thank you for being patient and holding on.
Oh, it was great listening to Fern. She's always got something good to say. I love it. I love that girl.
Likewise, you do too. So what's going on in the neighborhood?
Okay, so I'm going to try to be as quick as possible, but
no worries.
We're having a sign holding. Raise the wage Hawaii and private work. We're fighting to raise the minimum wage. It's going to be next week, Friday, in front of the Kukui Grove shopping mall at that intersection right there. So we'll be going right there, holding signs about raising the minimum wage. It's going to be a hot button issue this legislative session. You know, so the legislature is going to be gearing up to that. And there's a national movement to raise the minimum wage and fight for a living wage. You know, some places have got like $15 an hour, like Seattle already.
Mm-hmm.
Washington, D.C. has over $11 an hour. We're fighting for $10 an hour. I mean, that doesn't sound too high, but it's better than $7.25, you know. So we're fighting to do that one. And I would like to let people know that they can find out about this movement by going to the Facebook page, Raise the Wage Hawaii. So we have a Facebook page right now, because this is a statewide movement, and we're working with a bunch of labor organizers and community organizers throughout Hawaii. I went to a meeting last week in Honolulu on this, and for the last 3 years, they've been fighting to increase the rate, but they failed every time. Because those that oppose the plan want to, tax the tips workers, those that work for tips, they want them to cut their wages even more if there's going to be an increase in the minimum wage. Right now, tipped workers get 25 cents less, you know, than $7.25, you know, and they want to take a bigger percentage out of that if the minimum wage goes up. So we're fighting against that.
And so that's Raise the Minimum Wage on Facebook?
Yeah, Raise the Minimum Wage.
Okay.
And, you know, there's 74,000 workers in Hawaii that work for the minimum wage. And I would say 85% or more are 21 years and older. You know, so when they say this is a, you know, the opponents like to say that this is an entry-level wage, they're out of their minds. A lot of people work two minimum wage jobs to support their families. You know, my children work for minimum wages or low wages, and it's very difficult, you know. So it's something that's very, very important. Income inequality, the movement for that is a growing issue in the United States, you know. And we're beginning to just do this movement right here on Kauai, and we have a bunch of information that we'd like to share with people. If people want some printed information, they can call me, Ray, at 634-2737.
Say that one more time. 634.
Okay, 634-2737, and I can send information to them on what is the tip credit, other information about dealing with minimum wage increases, how it's going to affect the economy, and dealing with the fears and concerns of the business community about increasing the minimum wage. We have arguments and facts and figures and things like that that we can share with the people. And so, yes, we're going to be having a sign holding on Friday, the 24th, in front of Kukui Grove. We're going to be having more of this kind of stuff, And the fight against the corporations, that don't want to disclose pesticide use, and they don't want any regulations upon the plundering of their land and getting our people sick with their pesticides and the GMO farming.
Mm-hmm.
It's all part of the same fight against the 1%. We're all fighting for the same cause, for our survival, to protect ourselves and the land, and get livable wages and get a decent lifestyle. So it's good to hear what she has to say, and we'd like people to check this issue out, because there are many, many people on Kauai that are struggling to survive.
Many, many people. Raymond, tell me again, on Friday the 24th, that's coming up in a week from tomorrow, right?
Right.
And what time again?
Well, that's going to be from 4 to 5:30.
Okay, so in the afternoon,
4 to 5:30,
early evening.
In the afternoon, being sponsored by Private Work and by Raise the Wage Hawaii.
There we go.
And this is pretty good. It's important. It's about time that we start taking up issues directly related to the working class as well. All these issues are important.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to start talking also, too, about the living conditions of working people, and how we need a better life. So
tell me again, where are people going to meet at Kukui Grove? They're going to be out on the highway?
Out on the highway, right in front of, right across the GMO field.
Okay.
That's there. And, that's right in front of Kukui Grove on the Macy's side, across is Taco Bell, but it's that intersection right there. I mean, I guess they put up a nice sidewalk for us to hold signs now.
There we go. That's our tax dollars at work.
That's right. So we can hold them on both sides of the street.
There we go. And cross safely. And we can cross safely with the crosswalks there as well.
Oh, yeah. But, the thing is that we got to speak up about all kinds of issues that the people are facing. There's many, many issues that affect the people.
We go. And
affect the community.
Raymond, do you know, is there any specific legislation that's being proposed? Is there any bill numbers that have been...
Any bill number right now, I don't know. But it might be pushed by, what's his name now, Clayton Hee. There are a number of Democrats that are going to be pushing this thing, and Clayton Hee is one of the key ones. But there are some politicians that don't really want to increase the minimum wage, like Tokioka, Tokioka is so bad on a lot of things. He's bad against marriage equality, he supports the GMO companies, I mean, this guy is something else, and so...
Hey, man, let's not bash Jimmy on the radio.
Yeah, he's also against working class people in unions, so... but the thing is that we got to let him know that the people have a right to survive, with decent wages, and we have a right to live in a clean community and a safe community.
You got that right. It's
we got to have rights.
So that'll be February. That'll be January the 24th at Kukui Grove from 4 to 5:30. A sign holding event for folks who would like to see the minimum wage raised to what was the magic number again? Going from...
Well, the magic number right now is 10-10.
10-10, and we'd like to see it all the way up to 11.
Well, I'd like to see it much more, but we've got to fight for what we think we can get, because the past 3 years we're fighting for $9 and then $9.25 and $9.50. We couldn't even get that. It was really a struggle, but we may have a chance of getting it this legislation. Abercrombie says he's increasing the minimum wage. I mean, the Democrats are talking big, right, about the economy again, so Obama came out, he started talking about 10-10 as the national wage, the federal government should set. But counties and states are free to set their own if they want to go higher, you know. And in certain, there's, you know, Hawaii has the highest cost of living in the United States, but I think there are 19 other states that have higher minimum wages than we do, you know, although we have the highest cost of living.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, people can call me and I can, they give me their address, you know, the mailing address. I can send them some stuff. Again, it's 634-2737.
Okay.
And I'll be glad to get them that information. And hopefully we can see people on Friday and they can spread the word. You know, I mean, there's a lot of workers out there that are struggling and we know who they are. Some of us are even really struggling like that as well. So thank you for giving me the time.
On your community radio, anytime, Raymond. Appreciate
yeah,
the
okay,
call in.
Okay.
Happy New Year
right,
to
thank you.
Thanks for the good work you're doing. Aloha. And that's Raymond Catania. If you want to get in touch with him, his, where did I wrote it down, 634-2737. There's a sign waving, sign holding event on the 24th. That's a Friday from 4 o'clock to 5:30 in the Hue at Kukui Grove on either side of the highway there, fronting Macy's and the GMO fields. In Lihue. We've got another phone caller who's been patiently holding. Aloha, caller. You are on the air joining us here on Out of the Box.
Aloha, gentlemen.
Aloha. Is this my friend Fred?
No, this
okay.
is another friend.
Okay, another friend. Brother, what can we do for you?
Yes, I would like to remind all our folk on Kauai that an issue which transcends any law, any lawsuit, any issue regarding business is the unfortunate fact of the proposed Trans-Pacific Partnership.
Okay.
Now, the Trans-Pacific Partnership is a hui, a group of 12 Pacific nations, which if the law is enacted, you can just forget about any kind of challenge to the corporations because they would say, listen, you're restraining our trade. This is in violation of the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Forget about it. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So all this, you know, hand-wringing. I mean, I totally support Fern. I support Richard. But, I mean, see, the thing is, just for example, give example of one country and one item which, like, for example, in Japan, you can't go and buy 20 pounds of rice for $10 or $15. The price is 7 or 8 times that price because they protect their farmers.
Mm-hmm.
Under the Trans-Pacific Partnership, they would have no right to do so. We would have no right to challenge all these great corporations who are polluting our environment. So I don't think people really understand what's in the... And then Mr. Obama, the great friend of the people, that's a big not, he just proposed something which Mr. Nixon suggested many a moon ago, which is fast tracking. In other words, the super job. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then on the issue of the economy, the thing that most people don't understand is if the economy is only growing at between 1 and 3% for the last several years after the Great Recession, and if our national debt is increasing at a rate of 8 to 9%, you can see eventually the kimchi is going to hit the fan. Just as on all these programs that they want to cut for the poor people, and especially, of course, our Republican friends and our Tea Party folk, that eventually, you know, it's just not, you know, they're going to want to cut and cut all these programs that help the poor folk. And eventually there's going to be hyperinflation. Because it's an economic law. It's happened in every country where their finances have gotten out of whack. So, I mean, people have to really contact their legislatures, you know, the state and the federal legislators in terms of opposing the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
Yeah, and the TPP will be probably the big buzzword right along with global climate change for some of the biggest news stories in 2014.
I mean, see, the thing is that it's like it's on fast track right now to like totally railroad this through, and this is like it's another example of the you know, Mussolini defined fascism as a merger of government and corporations. Well, that's what we've been having.
Oh, yeah.
Whether under Mr. Obama or the Bushes or even under the good old boy Clinton. I mean, he was these Democrats, I don't recognize them at all. It's basically one party. So I just think that, you know, if people don't wake up, I mean, I was listening to what Richard was saying. I remember after I returned from living in Europe, I had like a master's in psychology, but I didn't have a teaching credential. I got a job as an assistant school teacher working with handicapped children. I started at $8 an hour.
Yeah, that was good money back then.
In 1972, yes. That's like $40 an hour in today's terms.
Right.
I had 100 paid sick days. Okay?
Per year.
Per year.
Yeah.
And I only had to work 100. I worked in the summers. I didn't have to work in the summers. But the thing is, I'm saying that the whole thing is, if you look at the U.S. wage structure, the wages have not really increased the last 40 years. But the cost of living and the value of the dollar, the value of the dollar has gone down, and the cost of goods and services has gone up. And so, you know, the advice I really follow is what Mr. Thoreau said, simplify, simplify, simplify. So I don't have a car. I don't have a computer. I have a small TV. I live as simply as I can. And I just got through. I just unplugged my answering machine. I don't want any more, you know, radiation. I'm just trying to live because, you know, the only thing I can count on when I step into the next moment is my health. And that's why these heinous corporations, they must be stopped from ruining our health.
Brother, you said it so well.
And especially the children. I mean, the point is, we adults, you know, our hormones have triggered the different systems, and so we've pretty much established, but the children are extremely vulnerable. So I just want to give people on Kauai just a chance to, like, please get involved and email or write your legislators. And
well, thanks for the heads up about the TPP. We'll be talking about that.
Well,
more,
thank you
I'm
so
sure.
much for listening to my concerns, gentlemen.
No worries. Thank you. And okay. And as DJ Shoot said, stay activated. We get one more call coming up here. Aloha, caller, you're on the air.
Hello.
Caller, you're on the air.
That's me. This is Fred.
Oh, brother Fred. Now we got you.
Hi.
Thanks for being patient.
I wanted to thank you and Tim and all the public affairs programmers on KKCR for doing such a great job.
We're trying, Fred. Some people are a little critical of our work, but that's okay, man. We can hang with the criticism.
I saw there was a letter in the Garden Island yesterday that I can't believe the names that we were called. I mean, just for being aware citizens and trying to make our lives better. I mean, this guy, I can't remember his name, but he just
no need to repeat it.
No names necessary, but it's kind of like what we're dealing with. Part of the thing we're dealing with here is that we just need to keep working on educating people so that they can see that we're trying to help ourselves here in our county, in our state, and trying to get closer to home rule. And so anyway, I wanted to make an announcement about a movie that Kauai Alliance for Peace and Social Justice is showing for the fourth time on the island here called Shift Change.
Oh, there we go. I love it. That's about co-ops and about the ability of workers and management to make it work together cooperatively. Tell us more about it, Fred.
Well, I mean, that's an alternative to what the last three speakers you had on. It was very entertaining to listen to them and very educational, and pretty much they all touched on the similar issues, which is the workers and, you know, local people and farmers and people that are working for low wages to have some kind of alternative, because we're dealing with the system, the economic system of disaster capitalism, which is basically destroying the world slowly at first, and now it's happening pretty rapidly. And so the way that it's shown in this movie is that there are places around the world and in America where corporations and companies are owned by the workers for the workers, and they're able to have a much higher standard of living for the most part when people do that, when people get together and cooperate instead of working for the man, in the pyramid shape hierarchy of the average corporation here in America and in capitalist world, all this stuff trickles up. It doesn't trickle down. All the money and all the wealth. So, I mean, I don't have to go into that. Everybody knows what the situation is. But what we're trying to do is just show people there is an alternative, and we'd love to have people come from the chemical companies, Walmart, McDonald's, the tourist industry, anywhere where people just feel like they really need to have an alternative, or at least to find out about one, Please come to the Kekaha Neighborhood Center. We had a scheduling change. We had a, it got double booked. We were going to show it at Waimea Neighborhood Center, but that's this Saturday night at 6:30 at the Kekaha Neighborhood Center, and we want to apologize to people for all. We did a lot of promotion and publicity for the Waimea Neighborhood Center, and then we just found out today that it got double booked, and so we luckily we got moved to the Kekaha Neighborhood Center, which is at 8130 Elepaio Road, E-L-E-P-A-I-O, which is in Kekaha, and it's parallel to the beach, to the road, to the main highway, and it's really easy to find in Kekaha. And
so that's shift change, and what time is the movie going to start?
It'll be 6:30.
6:30 at the Kekaha
night.
Neighborhood Center. That's the 20. Would that be the 18th?
18th. That's
okay,
the
18th. So this Saturday
two days
coming up.
From now.
Okay.
Yeah, and you know, I think it would be really great to see a couple of co-ops get started here. And I've heard of a couple. I've heard of a an agricultural co-op that might get started soon by some local activists, and it'd be really great to see one and to help one get started so that we can show this to people. You know, it's not just a bunch of talk and a movie about places and other areas around the world.
Right, right. And you know, we have a utility co-op here on island.
Well, that's the rumor. There's a rumor that we have a utility co-op which is actually acting like a co-op, and it doesn't. It's a co-op in name only, and it's run by oligarchs and plantation bosses.
But we have a chance to, if you will, we have an election, we have a ballot question coming up, we have membership, general election to choose new directors. So, you know, this is it's a young co-op, you know what I mean, Fred? And it's going to take active engagement from members to make that cooperative a true cooperative so the rumors can be put to rest.
Yeah, and hopefully, you know, everybody, we have an opportunity, all the folks out there, we have an opportunity to gain control, have the members gain control of this co-op, which is what is in their bylaws, and they're just not acting like it. But if we can vote no on this election, which has basically been rigged by the company, they spent, not millions, but thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of dollars of our co-op money, which is going to be reflected in raised rates down the road. It probably already is.
We're going to find out. We have David Bissell and board member Karen Baldwin and communication directors Jim Kelly in the hallway right now waiting for
a
chance to come on air and to join us here on Kauai Community Radio.
Okay, well, I'll get off now. But anyway, everybody vote no and listen to what these people are going to tell you. They're going to be punishing some of us because we made ourselves aware of some of the problems that are going down. And we want to keep this at home rule. We want to have local control of everything, including our utility company. And we want to do that for real.
Right on. Well, Fred,
thanks so much
for joining us here on Kauai Community Radio. And the movie Shift Change will be screened at the Kekaha Neighborhood Center this Saturday, the 18th. If I have the time right, it's a 6:30 showing starting right after sunset, and you will be able to engage in a lively discussion afterwards, I'm sure, with the members of the Kauai Alliance for Peace and Social Justice. That's, again, at the Kekaha Neighborhood Center this Saturday, 6:30 in Kekaha. We got another phone call coming up, and then aloha, caller, you're on the air.
Aloha, avakea, gentlemen. It's Kaiulani.
Aloha. Kaiulani, thank you for joining us here. One of our volunteer members and one of the Wahine warriors and aloha warriors. Thanks for joining us here on Out of the Box. What can we do for you?
Well, listening to your show gives me a lot of hope for the honest Americans that live amongst us Kanaka here.
Yes, thank you. There are some of us.
There are a lot of you. And it really gives me hope to know that there is this consciousness. And I wanted to offer some hope to you today.
Thank you.
I wanted to share some hope with you. And I believe with every fiber of my being that a sovereign Hawaii is the answer.
Amen. It is.
To our problems.
Oh, you got it.
Okay. And so I just want people to try and wrap their brains around that we can become a global peace center. We can decide and have control as a community, Americans and Kanakas together here in our place. As sovereign people.
Thank you. I agree. And I appreciate you putting that out there over the airways for honest Americans and not so honest Americans to think about that, ponder that, that an alternative is right there waiting for us to look at and to adopt, or rather to embrace, to reinstate, if you will.
We can, as people, choose to have learned from all the mistakes that have been made. We can, as a people, take care of each other and this beautiful place that we call home. And we can do it with sovereignty for Hawaii, a free Hawaii, free from the U.S. military industrial complex, free from the illegal occupant corporate state of Hawaii and its illegal arm, the county of Kauai and its illegal bandits, the mayor on down the line. We can choose together to return our home to us. And I think that's really what's going on. And I just wanted, I got so excited when I was listening to you, because more than ever, you know, years ago when I started talking about this, everyone said, oh, she's crazy. And more than ever, I'm more convinced than ever that this is going to happen. And it's going to happen soon. And we're going to do it together. So I just wanted to thank you, all of you that are fighting so hard to keep some kind of control. This has been our pain. And as I'm listening to you, I'm hearing your pain. I'm hearing your pain of having an American dream that's turned into a nightmare, where you're being poisoned and brain tumored and brainwashed and dumbed down. And so I'm really filled with hope that so many people are really kū'e right now. Kū'e. Mahalo.
Right on. Thank you so much, Kaʻiulani. I really
Aloha.
Appreciate that. Aloha. And we're going to go right here to this because we can. Thank you so much for calling us. I got a little announcement from a one night only on Kauai, a pick and party benefit for Kauai Community Radio with Drew Emmett and Vince Hermit from Leftover Salmon, plus Island Grass and the Malama Pono All-Stars. This is this Saturday, January 18th, 2014, at Church of the Pacific. It's from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. It's an all-age show. Donations at the door. Benefit for Kauai Community Radio. Chill drinks, chili and drinks for sale and silent auction. For more information, you can give us a call right here at 826-7774. Or give a call at 635-5556. You can go to www.kkcr.org for more information about that. I wanted to make sure you all know that this event is coming up. It's a benefit, and you can also, at any time of the year, any time of the day, any time of the night, your computer's up, go to www.kkcr.org for a reasonable contribution to keeping your community radio on the air. Right now, I am joined live in the booth by KIUC board and management. David Bissell, CEO, if I got that one right. Communication director is Jim Kelly. So David Bissell, go ahead and talk into the microphone and see if I got the...
Aloha, Jimmy, and it's David Bissell.
David Bissell, thank you. And James Kelly, Jim Kelly, where are you at?
Right here.
Let me see if I get that one.
Hello, hello.
There we go. That's that one.
Yep, I'm here.
That's two. And Karen Baldwin, I can't see you.
Hello?
Can you see me now? I can hear you now. Okay. Right on. Thank you for joining us here on Out of the Box Talk Story about KIUC issues. As you're well aware, we have a special election going on. We also have a board of director election just starting. So.
Jimmy, we really appreciate you inviting us down and letting us talk about both of those things. I'm particularly interested when we talk about electing new directors. There's a couple of issues at play into this, but every year there are three new directors out of the group of nine.
And Karen, you are in your second year?
I'm in my second year.
You were elected not the past election, but the election
before that.
In fact, I remember you in the booth at one point as a candidate.
Yeah, that's right.
So thanks for coming back full circle.
You.
How things been on the board for you?
Well, I'm glad you asked me that. It reminded me of being in here before. I ran for the KIUC board. I wanted to be a part of the board because I wanted to see KIUC conduct business in a way that engendered trust in the community.
Mm-hmm.
That was a really important thing. I thought there were a couple of there were sub-issues, but that was the most important piece. The second issue was, of course, putting the spotlight and the priority on renewables. And I think both of those things have come to fruition. And we're not as good as we could be, but I think we're getting out into the community and doing things like this, offering an opportunity to discuss our strategic plan, for example. You know, we met all over the island doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Got a lot of excellent feedback. And as I say, I think that's a really positive thing. As this director election comes up, my friends ask me who they should vote for. And, of course, I don't know who's nominated yet. Not all the nominations are in. But I think we need to think about what's the perfect director. You know, what does he look like? What does she look like?
Mm-hmm.
And I would look for a really strong business background. You know, when we meet, the meetings are usually pretty boring. A lot of financial data, so you want somebody who's real used to reading financial statements, takes that in stride, can absorb contracts, that sort of thing. As I say, what KIUC does, I know it sounds like all we do is party and spend money and, you know, so on and so forth, but in fact, there's a lot of, it's mostly business, it's mostly financial issues. We talk about renewables on and on. Those have been the most important financial issues on our plate in the last 2 years.
Thank you, Karen, for bringing that up. I think those two issues are paramount in regards to what people are focused on, renewables. I think there's a tremendous acknowledgement and growth. We'll acknowledge David's award Jim, you can share what that award was from your colleagues, your peers, David. Acknowledging your advancement for our utility co-op.
He's very, very humble person. So he doesn't like to talk about
That's why I pointed at you for
actually,
that one.
Yeah.
And I know it was recently that you were awarded that.
Yeah, it's the Solar Electric Power Association, which is a big trade industry group, recognized David as the CEO of the year among all the big utility companies, not just co-ops, but around the country. And it was in recognition of what we're doing with solar energy and how we're showing leadership in not just going at things in a small way. By the end of this year, we've got a big project right now that's under construction in Koloa, and by the end of the year, we're going to have probably 40% of our daytime load is going to be covered by solar, and nobody is at all close to that any place in the country, and probably not too close to it in the world. So
right. cutting edge, if you will.
Yeah, and it's going to be starting to be, people are going to see that reflected in their bills, and they're going to see that in the amount of greenhouse gases that our plants are not sending up into the clouds as a result of using solar energy. So it's a positive thing and a good thing that the community should be proud of.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So kudos to you, David. And you know, the work that you do, I think recently there's been some criticism in regards to, well, what does he do for the money that he makes? And maybe you could share in regards to the hard work that you do, because you know your job better than anybody, but certainly better than anybody in our room, and listeners included. So The mic is all yours.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Jimmy. I appreciate that question. You know, these solar projects and all the renewable projects we come in is a big part of my job. I focus every day on essentially two things that are key in our strategic plan, renewable implementation and cost control. And when we bring renewables in, there's a lot going on with that. There's an incredible amount of financial analysis that goes into that. If we build them ourselves, we've got to get loans, we've got to get land, we've got to work with large community landowners usually to do it. We have to bring in developers who can price the projects right, because every project that KIUC does, every renewable project, is cheaper than the alternative, which is oil. And sometimes on Kauai we lose track of what the alternative is to failure in our quest for renewables, and it's simply pumping more oil and money that flows off the island. It's gone forever.
Right.
It's got a lot of environmental negatives to it, and it's paramount that we succeed in this, and that's what the board is pushing me every day to do. But you can't do it in a vacuum. It's not renewables at any cost. It's renewables to save money for the people on Kauai. And between the renewables and cost control, we're pushing hard to bring our rates down. Every day we think about rates. The directors are always pushing about rates. They're really concerned about it. And you can't do anything in a vacuum here on Kauai. We're an integrated island. We all have to work together. I've got excellent engineers. I spend a lot of my time working with the engineers and coming up with ways to integrate renewables. We've got the large utility-scale projects, and we've also got thousands of rooftop systems that are going on. And it takes a huge amount of engineering savvy, financial savvy, rate-making ability to try to effectively integrate the rooftop solar, the utility solar, the biomass projects in a fair and reasonable way for all the members on Kauai, and mm-hmm. we're really at the front of the industry doing this, so it's pretty exciting, and we spend a lot of time doing that.
And I don't think anyone would suggest that those aren't good things, that isn't the direction that we want to be going as a utility, as a community, that this is the future for us in regards to stable energy, for stable prices, and not contributing to the harmful effects of fossil fuels. The issue that we talked about earlier, TPP, as well as global climate change, that when we can decouple from some of those problematic issues like foreign fossil fuels, for the price of oil being dictated by whether it's rogue countries or corporate oligarchs, as one of our callers called them, that we're over barrel and it puts us in an uncomfortable position. So again, thanks for helping us get there. Karen, you mentioned the strategic plan as being a significant document for us moving forward, and you as a board member wanting to help us, you know, move in that direction of getting us off fossil fuels. You also mentioned restoring and building trust for community. How would you gauge where are we at? We're doing pretty good on the fossil fuels. How are we doing on the community trust side?
I think probably this upcoming ballot measures that best of all. Like, mm-hmm. I send out an email, you know, to my friends and so on, and said this is what I think. This is my suggestion to you, and so on. And of course, I get a lot of feedback. I get to go to Foodland and. Tell me about this.
Yeah.
And what I'm hearing from my friends, my constituents, is we want you to divide costs fairly. And when I was asked to vote on this at the board level, it seemed to me that the people who caused the cost of repairing meters, of installing new meters, and so on. Should be responsible for paying that cost. That's the way I voted, and I can't speak for my other directors. But if in this election, if my constituents say, no, that isn't what we want the cost spread among all the members, mm-hmm. not just those mm-hmm. who opted out and so on, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can hear that. But what I thought they were telling me, you know, my sense was they wanted cost causers to pay the cost.
Let's look at that issue of cost causers. But before we go there, I do got to run a couple things here, because you are listening to Kauai Community Radio, KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, here on the beautiful Garden Island, 90.9 FM here, Hanalei, 92.7 on Ahola Mulawa area, 95.1 on the cable dial, streaming worldwide at kkcr.org, 91.9 FM islandwide, and 104.7 on Oahu. That's KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, K28A4AL Hala'iva on the beautiful island of Oahu. I want to also thank the underwriters of this program, Yi Corporation and Aya's Garden, and the upcoming KKCR benefit coming up in just a couple of days.
Yi Corp and Associates, providing personalized employee benefits and insurance solutions since 1988. A green company in an orange building. 808-245-5384. On the web at yicorp.com.
Aya's Garden, all-natural garden and greenhouse supply. In Kapa'a, down Kukui Street from the Dragon Building. Fertilizers, amendments, soil, seeds, garden and farm organic growing supplies. Open Monday through Saturday. More information at 822-7333 or visit Aya's Garden on Facebook.
Throw on those overalls and kick the city off your shoes for a bluegrass-style KKCR fundraiser. With very special bluegrass superstar pickers, Vince Herman and Drew Emmett from Leftover Salmon. Please join KKCR volunteers, staff, and Ohana for a New Year's kickoff fundraiser pickin' party at Church of the Pacific. One night only, Saturday, January 18th, 6 to 10 p.m., all ages, family fun, with Vince Herman and Drew Emmett from Leftover Salmon, plus Island Grass, and Malamapono All-Stars. Food, drinks, silent auction, and lots of bluegrass picking. More information, call KKCR at 826-7774. See you there.
So mahalo for supporting your community radio. And we'll catch this one, too, because we should.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR, its board of directors, staff, volunteers, or underwriters.
Right on, and we are back out of the box with Tim Kalai answering the phones. The phone lines are open at 826-7771. I'm joined with KIUC board member Karen Baldwin and KIUC communication director Jim Kelly and KIUC CEO David Bissell. Did I get it right?
You got it.
There
you
go.
Hey, Jimmy, can I talk about one other thing?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think we have a call in yet, but... I've been asked a number of times, well, why can't we, you know, if we don't have a smart meter, why can't we take a picture of the reading and send it in? Or mm-hmm. why can't we write it down on a postcard?
Sure, sure.
And I think it's important for your listeners to know that we explored five or six different options like that. And what you forget, you think from your side, well, just sending a postcard.
Mm-hmm.
But from KIUC's side, you've got to then have someone manually input that information. You have to get another piece of software to make all that work and so on. So my point is that we didn't just pick the first option to deal with non-smart meters. We explored a number of them, and this one turned out to be the most efficient.
Efficient as far as?
Cost-effectiveness.
Oh, okay. And I guess, you know, let's think about the costs. I believe you were not on the board when the smart meter program was rolled out, or were you?
No. I wasn't on the board when that decision was made.
Jim, you weren't part of that decision making.
I wasn't, but I've researched the history of it exhaustively.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Tell us, I guess, David, you were part of. I don't know if you were.
I was on a management team. I was not CEO at the time.
Right. Your background being finances.
Right.
So we received a grant. Correct me where I'm wrong, because I don't have the whole story. But we were part of a demonstration project through. The National Rural Electronics or Electrical
right.
Cooperative
it was
Association.
I thought it was a federal grant.
Yeah, it was a federal grant through the
Department of Energy.
NRECA, National Rural Electric Cooperative Association, which is made up of about 900 cooperatives mm-hmm. throughout the United States.
We're a member of.
They sponsored, they put the grant together, application together. We were part of about 17, I believe it is, other co-ops that participated in the grant. The grant was funded by the Department of Energy. It was part of President Obama's stimulus money.
Mm-hmm.
And so the grant provided half the cost of the project. It's about $11 million total project, and half of that, or $5.5 million, was provided by the federal government.
And it's interesting when you look at the history, not to go too deeply into the weeds on this, but, you know, in the early 90s, the new technology with meter reading was... a meter that you could drive by, and your guy has a handheld device, and he clicks it. Right, and so he doesn't have to get out of the truck and walk
up
and look.
More efficient. Yeah.
So it's more efficient, but it's using a signal kind of a thing. And the Department of Water uses those. They use them on Oahu. the next generation was, well, hey, you don't even have to send the guy out in the truck anymore. Mm-hmm. It sends it in automatically. And so in around 2005, KIUC did a study on, well, and we do, we replace everybody's meter about every 7 to 9 to 10 years. I mean, there's salt air, there's corrosion. So people who say, well, I've had the same meter for 20 years and it's been working fine. Well, no, that's actually not correct. We have been going out and switching out meters every year for, you know, it's budgeted. It's $200,000-$300,000 every couple of years.
Swap them out.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. so there's a pattern around the island. We go around and switch the meters out.
Are we going to have to do that with the smart meters as well?
Well, at some point, they're going to need to be replaced. They're supposed to last. There's no moving parts, so they're mm-hmm. supposed to last longer. But, yeah, at some point, you will. Mm-hmm. But the great thing that the board thought back in 2005, we got a bit, looked at how much it would cost to switch to smart meters. It was very expensive, and it was decided, no, we can't afford that. Then mm-hmm. the feds come along and say, well, hey, we'll pay for half of it. It seemed like a really good idea back in 2009, since we have to replace these meters anyway. Hey,
how
we'll
new it back in 2009? I mean, how far along in that first generation, second generation of that technology?
It's probably about the third generation. I mean, some towns and cities have had them since the late 90s.
Uh-huh.
Portland is 100% smart meter, and they've had them since 2006. So,
the co-op industry has been a leader in smart meter rollout and smart grid technology because of the rural distance, and the rural nature, and the large distance between customers and members out on the mainland. You know, in Iowa or Kansas, there can be 10 miles between houses. So, for years, I believe, beginning in the mid-90s, co-ops have been putting in smart meters because they made so much sense then.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably hundreds of co-ops that have put in smart meters, and I think the stat is about 40% of co-op members throughout the country have smart meters at their home or business. So mm-hmm. it's been going on for a long time.
Yeah, Karen, you wanted to chime in?
Yeah, I was just
going to
comment that I was reading an article the other day, and I found it interesting being here on Kauai and hearing how some of the opposition to smart meters. And you remember when Hurricane Sandy went through New York and mm-hmm. there was a place called Rockaway?
Okay.
And it was just destroyed, and they're rebuilding it now. And they're being severely criticized because they're not putting in smart meters.
And why are they not putting in smart meters?
It costs too much. They don't care that much. They don't want that information, I guess.
Uh-huh,
you
uh-huh.
know, you get more real-time information when storms are coming through, and that's, and as I say, they are being roundly criticized.
Uh-huh. Now, let's talk about some of the criticism about smart meters. What is the biggest criticism right now through the industry? What do people, I guess, have concerns about?
Through the industry. I don't know. These gentlemen know much more about the industry than I do, but I think the two issues here on this island are, one, security, and two, health.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two concerns.
Mm-hmm. And I thought there was a great letter by Dr. Lee Evslin in yesterday's newspaper. You know, Dr. Evslin's a pretty well-known local physician, and the way he put it, I thought was great. He basically said every device puts out something,
right.
And what it is a question of balancing benefit with risk.
Mm-hmm.
And in his view, the risk of the smart meter is much smaller than the benefit that the utility and that the customers get by using new technology. And I think that's a really, really good way of looking at it. I'm very, you know, I thought that was a great letter, and there's a lot of people, including the Environmental Defense Fund, who said the same thing, that it's, as new information comes in, we're open to hearing new information about smart meters, and we are open to that. But so far there hasn't been anything that we've seen that seems to suggest there's more risk than there is benefit.
Mm-hmm. We have a phone call.
I'll bet we do.
Caller, you're on the air.
Yes, this is to Mr. Bissell.
Okay.
Hello, sir.
Hello there. Aloha.
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Can you hear us? Here we go.
Yeah,
hold on.
I can hear you kind of faintly.
Okay, hold on.
You know, I have a smart meter, okay, and my rates haven't gone down or even been stable, and I want to know how much you make as an executive, you know, for our company, for our co-op. How much do you make a year?
I'm happy to say that, Karen, if you don't have any problem.
Well, you know, I was just going to jump in here and interrupt, and I apologize for doing that, but I want to make it clear that David doesn't set his salary. So okay. If you have issue with it, probably attacking him isn't the way to go. The board of directors...
I'm not attacking him. It's not an attack. I just wanted to know.
Yeah.
No, I'm happy. I appreciate the non-attack approach here during the show.
Yeah, I do too.
I'm not going to attack nobody.
No, okay. I respect that. Thanks, Rick.
It's one of the great things about a co-op in the area of transparency. My salary is public information. It's published every year, as is my top management, and most, you know, the higher paid people of the co-op are published. It's public information. My current salary, I believe, it's right about $340,000, which incidentally is much less than has been propagated on this show by a lot of people. So I take the opportunity to say it. I believe that's where I'm at right now. And
Are you looking for a raise or anything?
Well, I think Jonathan Jay and some of those guys have been helping me on that way. You know, they're constantly saying it's the number seems to go up every every time I hear. I think it was up to 400,000, maybe as high as 500,000. I've heard. So
yeah, the directors are getting really tired, Jonathan.
Yeah, my opinion is that I don't think you deserve that much. You know, as a regular working man myself, you know, with my smart meter, I haven't seen it so smart bringing down my rates. You know, I think you deserve no more than half of that, and even that is a lot of money. You know, so. I mean, I never got to vote on that. I mean, this is supposed to be a co-op. I think it's
And I'd just like to say that's certainly a possibility. Let's look at the budget next year. We'll cut David's salary in half. He'll give his notice. You know, he'll be gone.
I'm sure there's going to be people out there that can do a pretty decent job as well. You know,
I want to think you're right about that, but we had a hard time finding David. I was a part of the team that hired David, and it's not as easy as you think to find someone who aligns with our priorities like he does.
Well, okay. You know, we're always told that regular folks like ourselves can't make those kind of decisions. I just think it's outrageous that, you know, these smart meters, you know, that supposedly hasn't even kept down my rates or kept it stabilized. And I think it's ridiculous. I don't think any executive deserves to make that kind of money.
Is that more money than the governor?
I don't know.
Sure. And I appreciate your call. And let me just ask you, do you have an opinion in regards to, have you voted on this membership ballot?
Yes, I have.
Oh, I thought you were asking me. Yes, I have.
I'm so sorry.
No, I was just staring at my mic when I asked it, but I am addressing you the call, because then I'm going to drop the line and we'll take another caller right after you. But did you vote yes or no?
For me? Oh, I voted no, even though I do have a smart meter, because I think we have to take into consideration the concerns that the people that don't have smart meters, you know, they want to keep the analog. Maybe they feel that they are being affected health-wise, you know. And I don't think that we had a thorough discussion on this issue. Although I went along with it, I don't feel that we had a full democratic discussion and the minority opinions were taken into consideration, you know, because they do raise health concerns. I, for myself, went along with the meter, and I'm not ashamed to say that, you know, but I don't see my rates being stabilized or coming down, and I don't think you deserve the money that you're getting either.
Well, Raymond, I appreciate
it. Be truthful about that, yeah? As a regular working man who boxes a Coley for his whole life, you know, and my wife worked two jobs, and even though I'm retired and I'm still working on the side, and my daughter works, you know, we're having a hard time, and I don't can see how that kind of thing can be justified.
Well, thank you. Thank you, and you're entitled. Yeah. You're certainly entitled to your opinion, and, you know, I wish it was as simple to lower rates here on Kauai as putting smart meters in. But, you know, on Kauai, we're spending $100 million a year or so on foreign oil. And a $5.5 million investment on smart meters, unfortunately, is not going to solve the energy pricing problem on Kauai. It's a comprehensive – the only way to lower costs is a comprehensive all-of-the-above approach where we aggressively go at renewables. We look at cost control. At KIUC, since I've been CEO, we've cut staffing by about 10%. The people are working harder, doing more with less people, and that's kind of the evolving nature of the industry and business in general. Higher technology, very educated, credentialed people that have years and years and years in the industry. And with due respect to the caller, you know, the people at KIUC and myself, we busted our butts as well, working for the utility, working for decades in the business to get there. And, salaries are It's a, as you mentioned, a governor and where we stand relative to that. That's a much greater societal issue than what a CEO of a co-op makes, mm-hmm. is what the governors and the, you know, the dedicated public servants get out there. I certainly would not advocate that any of those guys are paid anywhere near what they should be, but that's a, we could have a total show on that. I'd love to talk about
it. We certainly could, and I guess it begs it's a fair question to comparatively, what are some of the, because your background is finances, and in the private market, you could probably be making well over $300,000 doing the kind of work you do elsewhere. What do other directors at other co-ops, what is the average, if you will, nationally? Do you know, Karen?
Do you mean directors?
CEOs. Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not going to be able to tell you exactly what those numbers are, Jimmy. But I do know that when I was part of the committee that recommended a salary for David this past year, we went through every co-op's CEO, what every co-op made.
Mm-hmm.
Then we looked at how big is KIUC compared to this, are the jobs similar?
Right.
And that's where we got that number.
Mm-hmm.
It did not come out of the air. We didn't say, well, what's the top? And as I think that David loves this island, but I also think that, if we cut his salary in half, he would find another job quickly.
Mm-hmm. Is that true?
Well, we could try that this year. I'd like to go the other way, and maybe we double it and see how it does.
Yeah.
But, in all seriousness, Sally and the people of Kauai are entitled to have, the board needs to know, they need to be explain how salaries are derived. I can explain how my employee salaries are derived. It's market data. Utility people, a lot of them are highly in demand, right down to the linemen, the people operating the plants. It's a competitive industry, and we lose linemen, unfortunately, all the time to the mainland, to other utilities, the HECO companies. We have to pay competitively, or mm-hmm. people will
move
leave.
On.
And it's it's the nature of doing business.
Mm-hmm.
CEO salaries always seem high, and to a lot of people they are, but again, it's a competitive marketplace. If Karen, I'm sure on the other boards, if there's people out there that have decades of utility experience and the ability to do, $100-plus million projects and want to come work here for half that, I'm certainly be happy to hear those, receive those resumes.
Right,
and
right.
It's an equal opportunity hiring situation. So.
Well, and I know certainly during the numerous meetings with the FERC controversy, I don't know how many hours you put in, but it was probably over 100 a week, I would imagine. And I do think that, people are pretty flip about it when they say, what does that guy do? He doesn't work as hard as the guy who pulls Kalo in Honolulu Valley. And, of course, your version of hard work is much different than a laborer in an agricultural setting.
Well, yeah, and they certainly deserve a lot of respect. I respect what they do. There's people on Kauai are very, very hardworking people,
mm-hmm.
and they've got my respect. I respect everybody that's out there. It's tough to make a living, place to make a living. We all struggle to get by, and we all work hard and trying mm-hmm. to do what's right. I just want to, the whole CEO salary, I think, is frankly a diversion
mm-hmm.
from the issues that we're facing here on Kauai. It's a relatively small drop of the bucket of the expenses that we're $180 million a year corporation. We've got to look at expenses, and I think Karen's can make the point that arguably, and I certainly would hope she can make this point, that the money they spend on a CEO is returned dozens of times over in savings from the renewable projects we've brought in, on cost control we've done throughout the entity, and we've really changed the culture of KIUC. These projects don't move, they don't get developed, renewables don't come online by not being a solid, professionally ran organization with a high skill set. It's not just me, for God's sakes. We've got engineers that are extremely talented, financial people, operational people, and it really takes all that to bring these projects on. That's why we've gone from 5% to over 40% we should be this year,
right.
And at a lower cost. None of them are easy. Kauai and Hawaii is an extremely hard place to develop projects. We've learned a lot as a co-op in the mm-hmm. 10 years we've mm-hmm. been around on how to get there. Part of the reason we weren't moving as fast as we wanted to be early on was we had to get a whole infrastructure in place at Kauai where we had the financial expertise, we had the ability to do these deals. You go out and you're negotiating with big, sophisticated businesses, landowners on these transactions, and you got to be there. You got to have that skill set
mm-hmm.
to effectively negotiate, and I think we've done a very good job. You see the pricing we're getting on projects compared to what's going on in other islands, and we're pretty consistently beating them, and that doesn't just happen.
There we go. We got another caller. Let me get you on. Caller, you're on the air with David Bissell and James Kelly and Karen Baldwin from KIUC. Aloha, caller. You're there.
Aloha.
Aloha.
James and David and Karen and Jimmy and all assembled. The question I have is, because the research has not proven one way or the other that smart meters are definitely injurious to one's health, therefore we can't experiment with the health of those who are subjected to these devices. Now, I've spent many hours researching this, and I understand the state of the arguments, but I think it's, to say the least, disingenuous and not really a good showing good concern for the health of the citizens of Kauai. I could care less what you make. I'm sure I agree you do make too much, and I'm sure you could get a job with some other lovely corporation. But it seems to me all the research does indicate that because of the monitoring, turning our wiring grid within our living abode into a tremendous signaling device, that most of the research that I've come across indicates this increases inflammation in the human body. So I think that what you gentlemen, ladies, all you folks have done is an evil thing. That's my opinion, and I really would like to get an investigation as to when Citizens Utility was purchased by this lovely KIUC co-op, why you spent an extra $40 or $50 million for this entity. So I think we should investigate your entire structure, all you, each one of you individual folks, how you rent this hugely expensive building, and, you know, just the entire system, because it's not fair, it's not right, it's improper, regardless of what this doctor said about it's a balance. Well, this doctor, I'm never going to go to that jail, but I can tell you that. I mean, what a poor excuse for a physician.
Hey.
So
hey.
We're going to...
can we move on?
Well, no, I mean, I think he's making some points there. I'll share something.
That Lee Evslin is a poor excuse for a physician?
No, that the American Academy of Environmental Medicine has called for a moratorium.
Yeah, that's the one that they have.
I'm not sure I heard him, frankly, make that point, Jimmy.
I didn't hear that either.
No, he didn't make that point.
So
if you look up online smart meters, you got to go to about page 57 before you find anything that is not a loaded piece of information about smart meters. Well, so when people say they've done their research, if they've gotten past page 4 or 5, that's terrific. But I kind of feel like this is one of these topics that just, it's like abortion. It's really tough to get anybody to change their mind once they've decided that this is.
Well, it certainly is a sticking point for us, and we'll take the next caller.
For us, meaning you personally, or for us, meaning who?
For us as a community. I mean,
really?
Don't you think so? I mean, we have a question on the ballot. We had a decision made by the board that was,
The question on the ballot is about the money, the fee.
Right. It's about fees, not about...
Right. It's not about health effects. It's not about whether the smart meters go in or not. It's about, will you pay to have a guy come out to your house and read your meter?
Okay, but it is about smart meters, the opt-out, being labeled as cost causers by the board and by others, is because of a choice that they were given by the board. Because
well, the choice that was given
well,
to
if
them...
If I can finish,
yeah.
the choice was given to members... to opt out,
right,
because there was concerns, and that an acknowledgement of concerns was on the table.
Jimmy, I think the board gave an opt-out option, not
right.
Because the board had concerns, but because the board recognized that members had concerns.
Exactly.
Okay, I heard you kind of say, well, because the board recognized there were concerns out there, there are
isn't
concerns.
That what happened? That there were concerns out there.
The
board recognized that.
That there are concerns out there.
Mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm. And there's more, if you will, information being brought to the surface that smart meters aren't as healthy as some people would like to think they are. That some people think that there's no problem with them, and some people have, I guess, it counters.
Right, and
that.
Some
right,
people
again,
can choose not to have one.
Right, if that's
right.
In Kauai, at least.
And again, I think, you know, the issue comes back to the initial proposal for smart meter technology to be our program that we have adopted. I'll bring a caller on. Aloha, caller, you're on the air.
Hi, is that me?
This is you.
Hi, aloha.
Thank you for joining us here on Out of the Box.
Yeah, I can tell from the, you know, the debate. That debate would have been wonderful to have, like, in a public forum, because, like, years ago when the conversation first came up, maybe, because mm-hmm. it's clearly pretty contentious one. And
you know, Kathleen, it's
wait, excuse me. I just want to, I'm going to go on to something specific here now. But I had a question. I think I heard, I'm not sure who said it just a minute ago, but it was about changing our meters out every 7 to 9 years, the old, you know, the traditional meters that people have had, whether they're analog or the digital ones. And I, you know, I kind of question that, because I think people have had their meters for a very long time, more than 7 to 9 years. So when I hear someone say that from KIUC, it immediately kind of, because there's such a history of people having some mistrust with the statements that KIUC makes so casually like that. So I'm wondering if when somebody from KIUC says, oh, well, everybody got their meters changed out every 7 to 9 years anyway, if that's a statement that a member could actually say, gosh, could you show me the proof of that? Because that's, you know, not a typical statement. It basically equates that an analog or a previous digital meter has the same lifespan as a smart meter, and I would extremely, you know, be skeptical of that. Not only because I think the technology in a smart meter is much more sensitive, but also because and susceptible to salt air in our environment, but also because there's continuous updates that go on, and whether it's software at KIUC or whether it's the ability to, you know, do, you know, the rate uses or whatever the data that's being collected, we know in high technology, just like your computer, becomes obsolete in a short period of time. And plus, replacing an analog meter at, you know, at 50 or 60 a pop versus a smart meter is hugely different. So even if it was old meters are replaced 7 to 9 years, which I'm highly skeptical of, the cost still for replacing it. So then one might say, okay, well, that might balance out with the benefits of it. And when Superstorm Sandy, that situation was brought up, and I heard they are being, you know, condemned for not using a smart meter, I also go, well, gosh, you know, on the mainland, one of those reasons is because they say you could be transferring energy from Utah if you needed it over to a damaged area that was out. You could be moving energy from large expanses across the U.S. to other places. And that's great. That might be a benefit. And we don't have that situation on Kauai. So that's not really a need that we could use to balance out, well, that's worth it because if our grid goes down, we can tap into, you know, somebody in Utah or California to get more energy. That is not an issue for us. I think sometimes appropriate use of technology is something that people need to consider when we're paying so much for something. And there's so much debate about privacy and health concerns. And the one thing I do want to say, even if there's a debate about the health concern, it's clear from the judge on Kauai, who made this decision with Adam Asquith well over a year ago, that privacy, the invasion of privacy issue was sided with the public. Adam did get a judgment in his favor saying KUC can't put a smart meter in your house because it's been shown to be an invasion of your privacy. It violates the right to privacy, a basic constitutional right. So I think, you know, when I hear KIUC say, oh, we're so nice, we give you an opt-out, well, that's because legally, I believe, there's a precedence with Adam, and anybody else could have gotten the same situation. And so I'm glad that we have that option here. I'm grateful to be able to have it. And I think the whole statements that get made about why things happen from KIUC and there's a big gap in communication between the KIUC leadership and the membership. And whatever that is, I don't think it's because members are unintelligent and can't understand what's being said. There seems to be this, like, legacy of distrust that started from day one when Kauai Electric turned into Kauai Island Utility Cooperative. And I really think it would behoove somewhere along the way for the board to take that bull by the horns and say, we're gonna mend this and we're gonna create a more transparent, a better communication. We're actually going to follow through when we make a statement, or we're going to back it up with, you know, evidence. And I know that happens sometimes. And I also think that the whole ballot situation that just came up just took that whole process backwards, like 10 years. Because it's one thing to rewrite the ballot language that was agreed upon. It's another thing to then say, and I sat in a meeting where someone said, well, can we have equal access to information at KIUC on the website? Can we put up the pros, you know, the pros con evenly up there? And whoever it was, I don't remember at the time, said, well, we're not going to put anything else up. We're not going to do any of it. We're just going to let people go to our website and look at it. And then Pandora ads, full page ads in the Garden Island, it feels uncomfortable. I'm sitting here just going, was I on another planet when those decisions were made? Because it was 180 degrees from what was said in those public meetings.
Is she going to be stopped here pretty soon?
I'm stopping now.
Well, I was just going to say, which one would like to respond
first?
Well,
why is it that when somebody like me who works at the utility says the meters are replaced every 7 years, why is that? Is there such a culture of disbelief? Why would I make that up?
Does this caller have experience in the maintenance of
Electric? I had to go find out. I went downstairs and I asked the guy who has actually worked there for 32 years about when we switch out meters, and talked to him, and he told me. And then I looked up in the budget line, which showed every year a certain amount of money being set aside for. They weren't all done at once, but someone has a feeling that it's not true, so therefore that's equal with my saying it as a fact.
Well, I'm not sure, and I'll let the caller respond, but I think that there's folks that will say, I haven't had mine changed. I've been living
there
for 12 years.
Really? Every customer record has the year that the meter was put on there, and I haven't found one yet that is older than 2002. Now, mm-hmm. I don't
caller,
know how
like
intimate people are with their electric meters.
Right. I don't know.
I don't either. Yeah. But.
Oh, are you asking me to?
Sure, sure. Would you like to respond?
Oh, it's what I was speaking to about the issue of trust. It may well be, but there's such an issue of trust now with what comes out from the mouths of leadership. And even, you know, it's sort of this environment of distrust. So it's got layers and years behind it. So
can I just respond
to skeptical and say, show me. And now you've just explained to it. And, you know, that's a level of explanation. It still would be like, show me on paper, you know, because the trust has just been so eroded.
Well, the fact of the matter is you can be shown on paper.
That's what I was asking.
Well, you can go to KIUC's website, and I think earlier our Form 990 was mentioned. That form gives you all kinds of information. I know it sounds like a boring form, and it's not. It tells you how much the directors are reimbursed for expenses, what they are paid for meetings. It tells you what the top salaries in the company are, and so on and so forth. And I think Jim poses a fair question. When a KIUC person makes a comment about, okay, this is how often the meters are changed out, you call in and you say, no, that's not right. And
I didn't say that.
No,
I asked.
But wait, you also said that the wording on the ballot was changed and so on and so forth. And I think that people are willing to accept, I don't know, what they hear on the radio as the truth. And I was part of the committee that put the wording together, met with Jonathan and
Adam
and
Doug.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Sure.
I can do this all by myself. and we agreed to how we were going to draft it. You know, and I think it's the feedback I've been getting, Kathleen, and I don't know, but this is what my constituents tell me, that they understand it. It's clear. They don't need any more explanation. And it makes sense. I mean, as I said earlier, this is a business. You know, it's not a club. It's not a debating society.
But it
it's
is a co-op.
Yes, and it's a business.
Right,
and
you say your
doesn't
constituents,
necessarily mean
doesn't those other constituents who might not agree with you, aren't those your constituents also?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I think I need to listen to them also. I'm mm-hmm. not saying that I don't. Mm-hmm. But
So one thing I want to say is I do know somebody who whose name is on the bill, and they have a smart meter, and he's perfectly fine with it. And he got the ballot, and he said, I'm not going to vote because I don't know what the other side is. He said, I get that it's 10/27 a month for those, the fee part. I get that it's 10/27 a month for those who want to have an analog meter if we're not going to share it, but there's nothing that says how much it would cost me if I voted, you know, to what it would cost the person without the smart meter if it was shared among all the members. He didn't have that piece of information.
Right, because that's a decision that the directors will make after the election.
Right,
after
so what I'm saying is that's why he won't vote, because he says, I don't have all the information I need to do this.
Well,
so
you
I'm
know,
just,
it's,
I'm
it's,
just saying it was, I feel like the process was messy because it didn't happen
democracy
in an energy of trust.
Is messy.
And I'm not saying it's one side or the other, but there's no question that, you know, from several years ago with the FERC, and it's, like I said, I feel like it's backpedaling because you would think that we would have made some progress in a ballot process.
Just one more comment.
Sure.
I'd like to, I'm sorry I keep interrupting you.
And then,
you, but,
okay. Kathleen, I think we're going to move on to another caller as well. So, but I appreciate your questions and your comments.
And I appreciate you giving me an opportunity to respond to this, in that I don't understand why you, caller, and maybe and others that are situated similarly aren't really proud of the way KIUC's brought renewables on, for example.
Oh, I'm totally proud of that.
Well, I mean, I never hear that. It's, well, maybe I'm just not listening to the right people.
Oh,
maybe
I'm happy to say it on air right now. I think it's amazing that
KIUC, has just made incredible strides, and you can compare us to any utility anywhere.
But that doesn't we could have that and not have a smart grid, is what I'm saying. You don't need to have the smart meters to have renewables.
Well, again, maybe you should go to work for KIUC.
Ooh, that was kind of sarcastic.
Well, I didn't mean it that way. You just make a statement that can't happen.
Well, yeah, let's and Kathleen, I appreciate
I'm happy
you calling.
To hang up. I know I'll give others.
No worries, and I appreciate that. And David's got a comment, but thank you for calling.
I would just like to take this opportunity to address one of the statements made by the previous caller, and that's the what does a no vote mean, and there's kind of a thinly veiled accusation that it's manipulative or not straightforward what a no vote is, and I can tell you why it's not straightforward what a no vote is. We do not know what a no vote means. KIUC is a fully regulated utility, and the rates from KIUC are done by staff, puts together the recommendations on them. We do the work running the numbers. The board approves them, but the board doesn't have final say on this. They go to the Public Utilities Commission of the state of Hawaii, and the Public Utility Commission of the state of Hawaii has approved the filing that was done.
Right, right.
The board approved your proposal,
yes, or not?
Board, so we do not, and it would be untruthful to say, to put any number out there, because we don't know what the ultimate, if a no vote came in, what the ultimate resolution would be. The PUC could totally disregard the no vote and say, we've ruled, we've made our decision, it stays as is.
The PUC could say that. Yes.
The PUC has final total determination on rate making in the state of Hawaii. The board
and would dictate the actual rate.
Yes. So if there was a no vote that came through, the way I see it is the board then would be bound to make a request to the Public Utilities Commission to revoke the previous tariff filing that they have done.
Mm-hmm.
But at that point, it's totally in the PUC's control.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be distrustful, it would be biased to say what it's going to do to put an amount in, to say it's going to cost a dollar to everybody, that it's going to cost $2 to everybody out there, because they don't control it. It would be untruthful to put that out. You can't put something that you don't control. So,
do you have an idea? Do you have a kind of a rough guesstimate of what that would be, though?
Yeah, I do, absolutely. I mean, it can range from, at one extreme, zero. I mean, first fact then on these costs are, the costs are there. It's not a matter for KIUC. The costs are going to be recovered.
Right, right.
The costs
exactly.
are in the structure. Mm-hmm. The smart meter program is here, like it, hate it, whatever. The costs are incurred, they're there. And they're going to be paid by somebody on Kauai.
By rate members.
Yeah, and but the issue is, you know, one of the classic ones is, even if it goes, is spread out evenly, we decide to do that, is who's it spread amongst? Do the hotels pay for this? Hotels and the big industrial people, which we call industrial here, the hotels, mainly the large hotels, are 30% of our customer base. Is it fair for them to pay the cost of primarily a residential opt-out situations? If you're in a rate case, no, the PUC would likely say they assign costs to where they go. So it could range from, if it's spread evenly amongst 30,000 people, it's going to be about $1 a month. If it's spread just to a third of the people, it's going to be $3 a month. The PUC could say, leave it at where it is, and then it goes $10 a month to the ones that did it. So it's a wild question out there. We don't know the answer to it. We tried to be as fair, but it basically you come in and say it could be.
Mm-hmm. What were the options when you guys decided to come up with the 1027 fee or roughly about? What were the options that you guys considered as a board or management?
You mean, one of the ones that we considered was send in a postcard? Is that what you mean? Read your meter, take a picture?
No, when you guys decided that you wanted to charge the cost causers, What was the issue?
Originally, there was the discussion.
Or were there no options? That was the only thing presented.
No, originally there was discussion about, well, if we have a small number of people that opt out, we'll probably just suck it up, and that's something that we can probably handle. We thought.
And what was that small number?
We based that on what other utilities' experience was in terms of the number of people who opted out, which ranged between 1% and 3%.
Uh-huh.
At the high end was 3%. So you're basically talking, a few hundred people on our end. We didn't have a lot of people opting out at the beginning, and then it gathered some momentum, and more there were people, talking to other people. There were people going door to door. I mean, I've got, lots of examples of people going to condo complexes, senior citizen housing with a clipboard and a deferral form.
And do you have an issue with that?
No, but it's just it explains why suddenly you get 128 deferrals in one day,
mm-hmm.
especially when each one of them, when you tell someone, it's free. There's no cost. If you don't want to have one, it doesn't cost you anything. And so,
was that the case at the time?
Yeah. Well, at that time, there was no cost. And mm-hmm. so pretty soon, everybody is hearing that, well, you can opt out for free. There's no cost. And, what's really great is you can switch your meter out if you decide you don't want it. We had people going back 2, 3, 4 times, switching back and forth between smart meter, dumb meter.
Really? 2 or 3 times?
Yeah.
Wow.
Sometimes with a certain...
And why do you think they were so, waffling on that?
I don't know, because it was easy to do. You just call up KIEC and say you want to switch out your meter. I don't like the digital meter we have. I want an old mechanical meter.
Uh-huh.
So we have to go dig one out and bring it over. And there's a cost of a guy that makes a good wage going over and having to put in a new meter. But
right.
More and more this, it's free. It's free. Call up KIEC and switch it out. It's free. And it's not free. There was a cost to that. And so that's when the board began looking at, is there a way to recover this cost, especially as the number of opt-outs got up to 10% or close to it? Then you're talking some serious money.
Mm-hmm.
So that's at the time the board started looking at that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think rightly the board had to say, okay, who is going to cover this cost? And as I told you before, Jimmy, my thought was, if you cause the cost, you pay the cost. That's easy. You buy the groceries, you pay for the groceries.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what about the argument in regards to folks saying, well, I didn't want a smart meter in the first place, or I wasn't really part of that decision making to opt in?
Yeah.
And did they, I guess.
Well, I mean,
are they
I guess
the
something we didn't talk about
cost
earlier
causer
is this whole democracy thing and so
mm-hmm.
on. I mean, obviously, we don't have a pure democracy at KIUC and co-op. I mean, everybody, it isn't one vote. You vote for directors. And if you don't like the way your directors are handling the business of the co-op, every year a third of them go off.
Right, or you petition the board's decision.
Right.
Right? I mean, that's part of our cooperative principles, that members have, access to board, the management.
Well, and they do have. I mean,
right,
every
right.
meeting, they have access to the meetings, they have access to the directors,
sure, sure.
all of that sort of thing.
Well,
and
the
petition
is
one way to do it.
Exactly. And it could be a messy way of doing it.
But this assumption that, I've heard so many people say, well, we're a cooperative. Why didn't I get to say? Why didn't I get to
mm-hmm.
vote on this?
Mm-hmm.
Well...
And is that legitimate? Do you think that's a valid kind of question?
It's a valid question whether they accept my answer, which is there's no utility cooperative on the planet, a utility cooperative,
mm-hmm.
where the members are voting on day-to-day decisions about operating the utility. Again, it's a $200 million complex organization, and to suggest that people can pick and choose where the utility is, everybody gets to vote on the design of the Lydgate substation.
Sure, or the color of David Bissell's new car. That they're going to have decision making like that.
Right,
I don't think people want that.
That.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean,
yeah.
as
I would agree with
Karen
you.
Karen mentioned earlier the strategic planning meetings. Where we ask people to come and help us put together the plan for the next 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
We held them all over the island, and an average of 11 people showed up
mm-hmm.
at those meetings.
What does that tell us? What does that say?
Well, the guy in Waimea who opened the meeting and looked around and saw that there were 5 other people there at the meeting said, well, I guess everybody thinks things are going pretty good at the co-op.
Yeah.
Now,
they don't give a rip.
Well, People are busy.
Yeah, people are busy. We have another caller. Caller, you're on the air with the KIUC team and Tim Kalai and Jimmy Trujillo.
Aloha, Jimmy.
Aloha.
Can you hear me okay?
Yep, we can.
That's super. The policy question about who's going to pay is a real legitimate question for a radio talk show like yours. It's a policy question. People can have opinions about it. And there are two sides different sides. Unfortunately, we've been talking about a whole lot of other things today. And we do some topics a disservice when we think there are two sides, because some things there just aren't two sides to. The lady that preceded me said, well, we could integrate all the renewables we want without a smart grid. She said that right at the close of her call.
Right.
I've got a master's degree in electrical engineering from a big hoity-toity fancy engineering school. And any of the engineering reading about integrating renewables, which we're doing a really good job with on Kauai, will tell you that the smart grid is absolutely essential to achieving a high penetration of it.
Absolutely essential to achieve a high penetration. That's what you said.
That's right.
Okay.
There just aren't two sides to that. I mean, she gets to say it and have an opinion, but to say it like it's somehow true does a disservice to all of us, because it's just not true.
Well, let me ask you this, caller, because someone had passed something, a note here, in regards to our grid here. Is that similar to the grid on the mainland? Do we have the same kind of grid intertie?
Well, we don't have a grid intertie.
And is that what we're talking about?
Well,
in regards to the smart grid?
No,
we can have a smart grid here.
Okay.
It's just a little different. We're kind of on our own out here, and it makes our problems a lot more complicated. If you're on the grid of the mainland, where you can get power from your neighbors and share power with your neighbors,
mm-hmm.
a lot of things are actually quite a bit easier. Here, where our grid is what's called islanded, which is kind of a funny since we're on an island, but
right. It's
a technical term, an islanded grid, it's a whole lot more complicated, and balancing the output of all our generation, some of the old-fashioned stuff and the new-fashioned renewable stuff, with the actual capacity that we need on a second-by-second basis is a difficult engineering problem. It's a tough problem.
Right. Difficult, but not impossible?
Nothing's impossible in engineering. It's about the cost and how much you want to pay for it. And the higher the penetration, the harder the problem, and the more expensive some of the solutions get. And, of course, the CEO spoke earlier about how part of this is about trying to save money, too. That's the third part of the problem, making it hard. And the smart grid and smart meters are absolutely essential to that. There just aren't two sides. And I understand that some people want to think there are two sides, but in some things, they're just a factual basis. The other thing that's like that is about the safety of smart meters. You know who the World Health Organization is, right, Jimmy?
The who?
World Health Organization.
Oh, thank you.
Who, yes. They have looked at the issue of electromagnetic radiation in the home and smart meters.
Mm-hmm.
They said there's no cause for alarm. These things are proven safe. You know who the Center for Disease Control, the CDC, is?
Heard of them.
They looked at this. They found them safe. The American Medical Association looked at it and found them safe. The American Academy of Science, National Academy, which is the preeminent scientific organization in the U.S., looked at it, found them safe. The State of Hawaii Department of Public Health looked at them and found them safe. Now, what's on the other side of that? You've heard of the American Academy of Environmental Medicine. They've got these warnings out saying that they're unsafe. It is a matter of public record that the guys that lead that organization have repeatedly been convicted of fraud. It is a matter of public record that the guys that lead that organization have financial ties to the companies that sell the little meters that they say you have to have this little meter to see if your electricity is safe or not.
Mm-hmm.
They have financial ties to the companies that sell the things that they say you have to have, like aluminum foil under your bed to protect you from that.
Well, caller, wouldn't you say that there is a number of financial interests at play with this smart meter technology and the rollout of this newfangled technology that is going to help more transactions on a large financial scale?
I guess I didn't quite follow your question.
Isn't there a lot of money involved with this?
Well, we're trying to save money and operate more efficiently. Now, did a company make these meters and sell them, and are they getting paid? Sure, but they're the same company that made the old meters. It's not like anything's new there. There's nothing. Are you suggesting there's something financially nefarious going on?
Well, that is what some people will present, that information, that there's, if you will, you know, a fair amount of financial stake at rolling out this new technology because they're going to benefit significantly from this.
Who's they?
The manufacturers of smart meters, the power brokers at play.
Well, the manufacturers are going to benefit because they made a better product and people want to buy it? Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, if you make a better product and you can, and for example,
I mean, we can go in the same venue with this GMO debate, whether GMOs are necessary to feed the world, GMOs are necessary to reduce the amount of pesticides, right? I mean, there's a similarity there. There's a analogous debate going on about
for a whole different show. But I think what's important to understand is, as well-meaning and as caring as some people are that want to believe in conspiracy theories, I spoke with a really lovely woman who was convinced that her smart meter was eating her brain, and I said, "Well, wait a minute, young lady. You know who the CDC is and the AMA and the World Health Organization and all these organizations." She said, "Well, I can't trust them. I can't trust them because they say smart meters are okay."
Right.
And I said, "Well, who can you trust?" And she said, "Well, I can only trust someone that tells me smart meters are dangerous."
Well, there you go.
And so if a person wants to believe in giant global conspiracies, then, you know, you're going to believe in them. But the bottom line is, these things are repeatedly tested and proven safe. They're not even in the gray area. Some things like the cell phone that you hold to your head is in the gray area.
Mm-hmm.
The power output of those is such that some people are kind of, some scientists say, well, it's probably okay, and some scientists say, well, you know, if you had it by your head 24 hours a day, it might be a problem.
Right.
It's the gray area, and we're not sure.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go stick your head in your microwave oven and turn it on, that's not the gray area either. That's bad for you.
Yeah.
Okay? But the things that we absolutely know are dangerous that aren't in the gray area, like the microwave oven, are the things that we absolutely know are completely safe, like the smart meter. Those aren't in the gray area. And it's an unfortunate problem that we have a debate going on, and people say, well, there are two sides to this story. We ought to hear both sides. Because some things are just matters of truth.
Well, I guess, no, I think the issue is that there are members of our co-op who feel counter to how you feel and counter to how the board has decided and have challenged that.
And I get that, and of course it's a democracy, and if you want to, if members want to challenge anything, they can certainly challenge it, but it becomes an interesting question of how, you know, you talked about a matter of trust earlier. How could you reach someone who said, I don't believe in the World Health Organization or the CDC or the AMA, the only people I would believe are other people who agree with me? That's a pretty difficult member to reach and try to create some trust from.
I would agree with you.
The last thing I'm gonna suggest to you is, we ought to have a call at the end of this election when the results are in.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know how it's gonna go, but it might show overwhelming support for the board of directors and their decision.
You're absolutely right.
It might show that your callers that say, we don't trust KIUC, don't actually represent the membership in any kind of accurate or demographic way. They just like to hang around at this time of day and call you and talk about whatever's bugging them.
Yep. Well, thank you for joining the fray and on that. And with that, we will move on to the Acoustic Luau coming up in 10 minutes. You will be here very shortly.
Hi, this is Mose. Tune into the Acoustic Luau Thursday evenings from 6 to 8 p.m. You won't hear a lot of brand names, but you will hear some darn good contemporary singer-songwriters, along with a wide range of other acoustic music. That's the Acoustic Luau, Thursdays from 6 to 8 p.m., right here on our community radio station, KKCR. There we go. So you are joining us here on Kauai Community Radio. Out of the box, it's a discussion about our cooperative. Our utility cooperative have Jim Kelly, Communications Director, Karen Baldwin, Board of Director, and David Bissell, CEO. A quick phone call, the last one of the day. Aloha, caller, you are on the air.
Would that be me?
That would be you.
Oh, hello. Hi, this is Marge. Thank you, David and Jim and Karen, for coming to our wonderful
radio
station.
Yes, mahalo for joining us.
I really, really appreciate your being there. Quickly, I don't have any problems with the way David runs the co-op, and I have congratulated him for being the solar king, I called him, at one meeting. I think he's doing a really admirable job for all that he's responsible for. And I think Jim Kelly has been really excellent in doing customer or community relations.
The best thing that ever happened to the co-op is what I remember you saying,
yes,
Marge, on this show.
Absolutely, because he's always gotten back to me in very good time, always answering my questions. And I appreciate...
Hold. Why was on Marge on hold for so long, you know?
Yeah, because
we had to let our callers
call.
I have a sneaking suspicion that there's a but coming.
Of course.
Wait a minute. Don't stop yet, Marge. I'm here, too.
Of course, Karen. And but I do want to agree with whatever callers have stated, that there does seem to be a lack of trust. And I have been trying to address this for many, many years. And I know, David, you were not part of the decision-making to start out with the stimulus funding package in early 2009. That was Randall Hee. He was the CEO at that time. But interestingly, in reading the minutes of all of 2009 and 2010 of the KIUC board meetings, it wasn't until 19 months later that the board of directors made a motion to actually go ahead with the application that Randall Hee had already submitted to the feds. And the amount of money was already determined and when it was going to come back to the KIUC. But the board did not make a decision, and I challenge anybody to say that I'm wrong in this information. That said, I think people who are responding to this program with problems and issues about lack of trust is totally legitimate. And I, for one, will try to help you to deal with this problem in this coming year in 2015. I think a lot of it could be dealt with about six of your policies being reviewed. And I have spoken to Carol Bain, and I think, by the way, that she has done more to bring the KIUC board to democracy than just about any other board member that has been on the board. She's done outstanding work to try to convince other board members that there has to be more transparency to help the element of trust. And so she, being the chairperson of the committee that reviews committees, has assured me that several of those policies will be reviewed, because they, by law, they have to be reviewed every 2 years, as you well know. So I am looking forward to trying to help the board understand better how members can trust them. We can't be involved in the day-to-day decisions, but when something big comes up, like smart meters, and the board and the CEO back in 2009 had already decided, before the board decided, that it was a go-go project, that to me rings bells of caution. And so I really want to try to avoid that coming up. You know, we can look back and say, oh, well, you know, the FERC ballot was all wrong and this ballot was all wrong. let's go forward this year, folks. And you know, I'm sometimes a big thorn in your side when I come to meetings, but I really was upset when I was told by Chair Tachtian and CEO David Bissell that I personally and all members would have a say as to what the fee would be before it got determined by the PUC. I have notes of those meetings when I was told that. Yet, on October 1st in 2014, a special meeting was called with only 24-hour notice. I've said this before, and no members present, that $10.27 fee was determined by your board of directors. That, to me, is a total lack of trust. So I want to correct that. So don't consider me to just be this big ogre that constantly has thorns pointing at you. There are many people who really want the KIUC to be a fabulous co-op. And for those of you who would like to learn more about co-ops, there's going to be a co-op movie shown in Waimea this coming Saturday night at the Neighborhood Center. And it's all about co-ops all over the world and how we could become a better one.
There we go. Well, Marge, we are at the top of the hour. You are listening to KKCR. I want to thank our guests for joining us. Thank you, Marge, for calling in, sharing your mana'o with us. Jim Kelly from KIUC, Communication Director, David Bissell. Thank you.
Thank you, Jimmy. I'll be in on Tuesday to continue the conversation. I enjoy it. It's close to home, so
there we go.
I'll try to be over every couple times a week. Thanks.
Thanks, David. Appreciate that. And Moses is going to be right here as we make our way transitioning out of the box show. Tim, thank you for manning the phones, callers. Mahalo's for that. And this one going out to you, the people.